Basically, my story begins in first year university. I had a year where I think a lot of problems happened to me. My parents separated that year. My dog died. That was a particularly tough day. SubhanAllah. I had two car accidents in the space of 1 week. And also, sadly, I had a friend pass away that year. I think that year led me to sort of ask some questions along the lines of, why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I even bother? Why don't I just sit on the couch, watch TV, Jerry Springer, whatever? And I think I started to ask questions about, you know, the purpose of life, and that led me to start to do a bit of a holy quest. Naturally, as an Aussie, the first thing I did was investigate Christianity. I had a few Christian friends, and I remember going to a church camp. It was one of the funniest camps I've ever been to in my life. Everybody was singing. I didn't know what the words were. I didn't know what they were saying. It sounded great. They had beautiful voices, but it just seemed really strange. And everybody was telling me how much God loved me, and I was thinking, God loves me? My dog died. SubhanAllah. So I kept on investigating Christianity, and I went to a whole lot of, different aspects of Christianity. So we're talking about Catholicism, we're talking about Anglican, Baptist, you know, priests, pastors. And every time I'd go there and ask questions, I'd find that they wouldn't pick up the Bible and start to say, oh, this is the answer, my dear brother. They would just start answering me. They would just answer from their own opinions. And I started to realise that there was a lot of interpretations of Christianity, and a lot of people had their own interpretations, and one priest from one church was believing one particular aspect of Christianity whilst another was proclaiming another. So I started to think to myself, the Bible is one text, but there seems to be so many different interpretations, and it was confusing. At the time, while I was in first year university, I was also working in a service station, one of my part-time jobs. And one of my colleagues was a Hindu, was an Indian Hindu. And we'd regularly change shift, and at that time I was very inquisitive, and I'd say to him, dude, what's the deal with the elephant head guy? You know, what's the deal with that, you know? Why has that guy got an elephant head? And he's going, oh, that's Ganesha, you know, this. I said, but couldn't you have chosen, like, a lion's head or something a bit better? We'd have, you know, these really deep theological debates while people were buying petrol. And I'd be saying, yeah, but why, bro, hit $5 of gas? Thanks, mate. Yeah, no problems. And, again, I found that was very hard to stomach, so I sort of investigated a little bit further. I had a good friend of mine was a Mormon, and I found that this religion actually appealed to me the most out of all of the Christian religions, the Church of Latter-day Saints. They were quite strict. They don't drink alcohol. They don't drink caffeine. So unfortunately, Coke's out, guys, because I know Levos love Coke. again, you know, there was that leap of faith I felt that I had to make to embrace this religion. And I found that, you know, I wasn't just into making a leap of faith. I wanted proof. I also investigated Judaism, would you believe? And my original name before Abu Bakr is Reuben. So if you've probably seen all the movies, you've seen Rubenstein at the end, they probably thought I was Jewish. So they thought, oh, this guy's, you know, one of us. But again, you know, I just didn't find what I was looking for. Lastly, I probably looked into Buddhism, and I found that this was probably the religion that I was going to choose. I thought, look, this is great. You know, there's so much, you know, people at peace here. They seem to be really switched on, and they seem to be living one with the world, and that's what really appealed to me. But the more and more I looked into it, I guess I realised that it wasn't a religion of God. It was just a nice way to live. One of my close friends, who's a Christian, would you believe, said, tell me the religions that you've investigated. So I went through them. I said, you know, Judaism, Christianity, Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, da da da. He goes, what about Islam? Islam? I go, they're terrorists. I'm not going to investigate that religion. They're crazy. Why would I even look at that religion? But lo and behold, I found myself walking into a mosque one day. This was my eternal quest. So I walked straight in, shoes on, straight across the prayer rug. There was a brother praying. I walked straight in front of him. As he went to go into sujood, I almost stepped on his head. Subhanallah, I didn't have any clue what I was doing. I looked over and I saw this brother. You probably know this guy. This is Abu Hamza. He's come here and he's lectured a few times. Subhanallah, I call him Abu Da'an because he's got a very large beard, mashallah. He came walking out towards me and I thought, today I'm about to die. This is the last day of my life. I'm a dead man. I'm a white boy in Lebland. What am I going to do here? I'm dead. He came walking across as though he just walked out of the Sahara Desert. Big abaya, big beard. But subhanAllah, the first words he said were, "G'day mate, how you going?" If only he had the can of VB, it would have been perfect. SubhanAllah, I was very taken aback by his welcoming nature. As Aussies, I guess now, I don't want to offend any Australians here, but my upbringing is from a country upbringing. My parents raised me as an atheist. They were raised as Christians. They were dragged along to church every Sunday, and they hated every minute of it. So as soon as we were born, they drummed it into our heads that when you die, you're worm food. That's it. There's no afterlife. There's no God. It's all rubbish. So I was raised as an atheist. So when I walked across and I saw Abu Hamza and he was talking to me in a very polite fashion, which I was very thankful for because I was sure I'd seen him on the 5 o'clock news hijacking a plane the day before. Now, Aussies are hospitable, don't get me wrong, but Lebos are the most hospitable people I've ever come across. And as the brother Hamza was saying, these brothers were making me cups of tea, you know, and I honestly needed to keep going to the toilet every 5 minutes. They just kept putting tea in front of me, biscuits. I'd never seen anything like it. And I think to some degree I kept coming back for the biscuits, but also for the religion. So when I sat down with these brothers, I actually started asking questions. I asked all the questions that I've asked of the priests, of the pastors, of my friends. And subhanAllah, the thing that really struck me is that every time I asked the question, they wouldn't just answer. They would pick up a Qur'an and they would say, "Read this, bro. Read this." And there was the answer, every single time. And I would ask another question, you know, the hard questions, not the easy questions. Why do women have to wear the scarf? Why the hijab? How come I can have 4 wives and she can't have 4 husbands? You know, I wanted to know all the tough questions, which is the first questions I guess you ask when you come across Islam. But lo and behold, they kept on answering the questions with the Qur'an, not from their own opinion. And I got frustrated with this. And I actually said to one of the brothers, because by this stage, I think I'd been going there for about a couple of weeks, there was always a few brothers there when I went. And I said to one of the brothers, I said, "You know, what's your opinion on the matter? Why won't you give me your opinion?" And one of the brothers turned to me one day and said, "How can I have an opinion when this is the word of God?" SubhanAllah, I remember that really hit me. So I asked them if I could take a Qur'an home. And I didn't say I was going to use it to chalk up the couch or anything like that. I said I was going to respect the book. So I took it home. I started reading it. What I found was, while reading it, it wasn't as though I was reading a story. It was as though I was reading someone commanding me, you know, someone giving me guidance. And one night I decided to really try and get the spiritual mood happening, and I'm sure probably some of you have heard this story before, so I apologise. I'd lit a candle.